Comedy Floss News and no political spin. This is Truth Radio by Internet. Thanks to our sponsor, Neemwell.com, because here, the expression is still free. Free expression, creativity are alive and well as Break for News forum members from around the world discuss full spectrum liberty and much, much more. You're on the next level on breakfornews.com.
Would you do me a favor and push me on to the next level?
And you're very welcome. You're on the next level on breakfornews.com, and this is Fintan Dunn reporting. Thank you for joining us. And thanks also to our sponsor, Neemwell.com, your personal source for potent Indian neem. It is the world's most popular herb. 500 million people in India use neem on a daily basis. And you can find out more at Neemwell. That's Neemwell.com. It's a very special show, and I think it's one of the most buzzy shows that I've ever gotten ready to do on breakfornews.com, because we have joining us in a teleconference forum members from around the world, and we're joined by Dav Dida and Jeff S and Matt and Navari and Ormond and Red Mana and Urban Spaceman. You're very welcome to the next level, folks.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Okay, great to hear voices from all around the world. There have been some terrific contributions already in the forum on this issue, and I did have a discussion with Navari previously in an audio, and you can check that out in the archive on breakfornews.com. And I'd like to call on Navari first to just give us some of the background and some of the core concepts behind the idea of full spectrum liberty, how you came up with it, Navari, and what it means in summary.
Let me just, I'll just go back through some of the points that I made in the earlier post. You know, it seems to me that while we do an excellent job, we spend a lot of time watching and trying to figure out what the elite's roadmap is for our collective future. And I've been trying to figure out how do we start to flip those things around and establish our own plan. And so in trying to do this and trying to figure out how we create this vision, looking at the elite's plans, and one of the things that I did was sort of look at the military-industrial complex, and more recently what Rumsfeld has created, and there's something that the military has done under his tutelage, which is called full-spectrum dominance. My understanding of that is that the military's goal is to completely overwhelm the enemy with total military, economic, psychological, and communications dominance until the enemy is completely overwhelmed and simply capitulates. And that really led to this concept of full-spectrum liberty, which is trying to take this concept of full-spectrum dominance and flip it on its head, something that I casually define as a system of global liberty so pervasive, so ingrained into the psyche of each individual that no elite, no government, no individual can negatively impact it.
You are underwhelmed and not overwhelmed by Donald Rumsfeld, which is a great starting point. I'd like to call on Urban Spaceman to pick up the issue. And you've posted in the forum that some of the ideas around developments in thought and developments in society have been touched on by Ken Wilber and others.
Yeah, Ken Wilber is an American philosopher. He started a think tank called the Integral Institute in the States. They're not coming in so much on the political scene, on political issues, but they're sort of thinking about these things just on a spiritual, psychological, philosophical angle, and they try to implement all these ideas in other areas too. So when I read the word full spectrum, I sort of thought of the integral theory, because it's a super holistic approach. So it's really looking at the inside and outside, looking at the individual and social level.
Yes. Ormond, can I ask you to just pick up the idea that you were talking about on the forum also, that, you know, Donald Rumsfeld's done us a bit of a service, really, because it's only when it's put up to us that we rise to an appropriate challenge.
Well, it's not just Rumsfeld. What I think happened from here in America, and also now that we're in touch with people all over the world, is that I would say that before the Internet, I was accustomed to a lot of people locally that would talk like this, and after 9-1-1, that stopped. What's happened is people have become more scattered. In other words, the spy war has shut a lot of people down. But at the same time, the Internet has perhaps unintentionally, because they didn't want this to happen. They need it for other things. But one of the things that they haven't been able to prevent is this side effect where now we're still able to talk to as many people as we did locally, but they're scattered all over the world. And I think that might be a factor that they can't control. So it's actually forced us into global networking, which wasn't as efficient before the Internet.
You took issue with the David Lynch approach of just like turning within, like the Leary approach of turn on, tune in, drop out.
I think that Lynch's interview on Alex Jones was just another attempt to reach people that hadn't been reached yet by watching television. because people who are still thinking don't watch mainstream television and listen to, you know, like observe that just as entertainment. We observe it if we observe it at all, just to sort of check and see what they're doing in terms of, you know, how they're controlling people. Because I know lots of people who just shut down and after 9/11 and believe amazing things, you know, and then you turn on the television and you see why.
Okay, Radmana, you tapped into a whole range of previous thought in these areas, and this idea of new thought has been brought forward by a lot of people. Maybe you just cover that a little bit for us.
New thought actually is something that has gone back, I think, to the later part of the 19th century. It's not exactly a New Age thing that has a lot to do with, I know a lot of these figures have been around over the centuries, and my take is the power of example, which a lot of us talk about, a lot of religious people will talk about, but yet I don't see them doing it. So I'm thinking, how can we get a vehicle, you know, that would actually allow our example to be seen better, and maybe people start, you know, picking up on it more on a common basis.
Yes, yep. Maybe we turn to Daft Ida. Would you pick up some of the issues you've posted on this issue as well in the forum? You could pick up some of the points you made there?
Yes, certainly. Picking up another point that the diffusion, as you know, was picked up earlier, that they're scattered all over the place, which is marvellous, because as soon as you join together in a cohesive, identifiable, a labelled body, you're under attack, you're infiltrated, and you're identified. Well, it's marvellous, because with the internet, we're all individuals in different ways, and we're not an organisation. And this is the beauty, and it's going to come from the people, the individuals. And how are we going to do this? Not through any figures that are put forward to us as heroes. Well, we do it by actually being true to who we are. So I think to myself, well, the whole thing's got to be about self-sufficiency. How do we eat? How do we heat? How do we live our lives? Who do we connect with? I'm really starting on a very, very personal, individual, cellular level with this.
Speaking of structure, Jeff, you were talking about the coral reef as a structure, and you also brought in the issue that full-spectrum liberty should extend across the whole spectrum of human activity, spiritual, mental, philosophical, physical.
Yes, well, I have to say I was really encouraged to see this whole idea get kick-started with us, because I think we have a wealth and knowledge and understanding in our group that maybe we can dissect what's going on and find a way to bring some coalescence of ideas together to share. But the idea that you mentioned about the coral reef was the idea that sort of the coral reef representing the current existing system that's becoming brittle and decaying and soon hopefully will just more or less crumble under its own weight, while in the same time, there's all these, what I'll call the grassroots growing up in between and betwixt all the openings in the coral, and once this structure starts crumbling around us, hopefully we'll have built a base, a foundation that can sort of catch the world and take over as far as our sustenance, our healing, and that sort of thing. And I'm so encouraged as I look out around the web and around contacts and friends that there are just myriad people out there with the same ideas as we're doing here, is finding methods, forums, groups, and such to dream about a better world. And as we talked about the idea of the secret being that where we put our energy is where the form will follow, and it's almost more important to me to focus on that vision of the greater, the better world, if you will, so that rather than trying to reconstruct what we've already got that may just sort of dissolve under its own weight as we talk. Well, in the aspect of encompassing all the threefold aspects of our nature, the physical body of ourselves and the world, bringing in and incorporating the spiritual, the morality, the ethical idea, integrating that into the whole, and the philosophical, the mental aspect of our beings. It seems like a necessity to consider all those, because in the past we've kind of segregated those or departmentalized them into separate areas of study and whatnot, and we forget sometimes to step back and see how they all integrate together.
Yeah, okay, good point. That first point that you were making there is something I think Matt would definitely agree with, that we've got to have a vision, otherwise people are going to say, oh, you know, what's the point? I mean, we just got to put up with what we've got, Matt. That's the point you were making.
Yeah, definitely. The way things are, you know, we're so boxed into a corner with everything's really bad, you know, government's incompetent, stupid, you know, and we can't improve on that. And that just doesn't wash with me. And I think what Jeff was saying is bang on about the idea of things growing up through this decaying coral reef. And the old thing, like the old notion of left-right politics and all that kind of stuff is, more and more people I speak to have a kind of, if you like, an underlying awareness of this, even if they don't really act out on it. You know, it just seems to be a common thread that the people see, you know, that it's just a kind of cardboard circus being erected around them. And I think there's a lot of hopelessness in people, but there's also a chance for a broad awakening, I would say.
Okay, I'll just throw it back to you, Steve, what full-spectrum liberty is and the areas that it might encompass.
I've been thinking about it 10 years. You know what? It's a process. I mean, it's a framework by which we all operate, but I don't necessarily believe it's a single framework. I think it's potentially an endless array of frameworks.
In fact, I'll throw it open to anybody who wants to come in on this rather than take a formal structure on this. Urban Spaceman, you're pointing out that, you know, full-spectrum liberty is a great idea if everybody's ready for it. But if you're not ready for it, well, you're going to abuse it. And so this isn't necessarily a totally unrestricted system we should be aiming for.
I think there has to be something in that system that restricts the liberty of people with low moral intelligence. And I should mention, I know in another audio you used the word ethics instead of morals. I'm sort of using it the opposite way. The people of low moral intelligence, kind of the James Bond villains of the world, they're getting to the top. And instead of, I think Terrence Kenneth said something about, it's the least among us. And when I heard him say that, it was the least among us as far as moral intelligence. They're sort of getting to the top instead of...
So why is that happening? Why is that happening and how can we prevent it? I agree with you. And it seems like, of course, one thing that's lacking is critical thinking across the mass population and flow of information, accurate, independent information.
Well, it's so hard from the psychological side of things to ask people to start that process of independent thought. I mean, right there, if you think of someone like Abraham Maslow's work, which is sort of about the hierarchy of needs that people have, a lot of people are still at their sort of belongingness need stage, and they need that culture to feel like they fit in. I mean, all of us on the forum, we're all independent thinkers. We've sort of grown beyond that. It's like we've already felt we don't need that anymore. So, I mean, that's a great challenge. How do you invite people to start exploring and start questioning the culture that they're in?
Well, this is Navari again. I think of it, I come from like a commercial world background, and I think of it almost like a brand. Right now, the mass population belongs to the brand of subservience to government.
Yeah.
How do we create a brand that is more appealing than that, which is the critical thinking brand that people would prefer to belong to?
The majority of people who have been who were brainwashed by the initial events of this big change that's been going on. Here's the dilemma for the people who are trying to change the system to what they want it to be, or do its upgrade, so to speak. At first, they could get away with it, you know, for a few years, because it was reliant on people not knowing how bad off they are.
Yeah.
So most of the brainwashed I know personally do have survival instincts and they still don't want it to be, you know, they don't want to have things happen to them that we see. But they've been sold a package and they believe it. Now what's been happening within the last year or so is they're saying that the package they're being sold is not reality, and that's their first step.
I think that the biggest difficulty I've had as an individual, and perhaps other people will empathize with this, is when you look at the scope of wanting to change the world and you think about the vision of how it can work, because it's in your heart, it's so huge that it stops you from actually doing anything. Most of the people will not change. It will be the few, and it only takes a few. Maybe us and others like us think, how in my life can I be self-sufficient? Can I feel linked from this? How can I survive and thrive within this? How can I be creative and connect with others who are creative? What can we do together?
You know, what we're doing is trying to seed this thing, and the difference is that it's not internally focused towards the group. We're attempting to devise a structure that maximizes liberty, and it's essentially outward-faced. But something else I'd like to pick up on, a point that was made there, and throw it out to Matt, is that we are in the middle of a cultural diversity explosion, and nowhere more evident, I think, than in the United Kingdom, Matt, where it's extremely multicultural, and society has broken up into so many different segments. Would you agree?
Yeah, that's very true, but I wouldn't say it's along any kind of racial lines or even financial lines particularly. I think that there is very multicultural here, but there is a large key sector of all population, of the whole population, all races, all kinds of people, who kind of pass each other in the street and smile and nod and give each other respect. And the very few people who kind of seem to be enjoying this neo-Nazism in the Labour Party and John Reid, the kind of people who get excited by the prospect of these kind of notions of police state and, you know, kind of armed SWAT-style coppers on every corner, they're definitely in the minority. I think that most of the fracturing is within family, within familial groups and that kind of thing. I do have faith that there is a large core of the UK population who are one people, if that makes any sense.
I concur with that here in Houston also. There have been attempts to push division and, you know, with illegal immigrants, right, you know, and mm-hmm. black versus white, and it hasn't gone over in the local community. People don't want to think that way anymore.
Yeah.
Jeff, maybe you just come in on that discussion there.
I'm kind of seeing a twofold thing here. One being very much like Aseda has been talking about, that if we indeed embody in ourselves a new way of living our lives, I think Navar even pointed out, to find a way to move in and out of the system, you know, live outside of the system self-sufficiently, healing ourselves, not relying on big pharma, that sort of thing, moving into the system as needs be in that, and thereby creating examples for others to see and follow and to build on and such as that. I guess I focus more on the side of creating the new form that we want to be that change. But at the same time, I do recognize that need, and I'm not really conversant enough in how we can smooth that transition between the old way and the new way. But again, harking back to the idea that we picked up in The Secret, that if we vision a better world, let universe figure out how to get us from A to B. If we begin incorporating that new thought process, that new spiritual process, that new living process in the physical world, educating our children, learning how to grow our food, living in communities, and that sort of thing, that we will be showing those steps along the way toward that new vision, but let universe figure out the details on how to...
Sorry, this is Urban Spaceman. I mean, we can think of the universe as just a big computer, and when we put out those intentions, this is, I think, part of the new thought idea, is you put out those intentions, that's like input into the computer, and you kind of have to wait for there to be some sort of output, and it comes back from your attention. So you don't always no, you don't always have a plan. You just, but you do focus on the intention.
Yeah.
This is Navari again. I agree completely with the comments that were just made. I think just presenting a vision which is appealing will move people in that direction. I think that's exactly what the elites have been doing for quite a long time. All you have to do is look to Hollywood and what they've done, the sort of vision that they've created on the screen for us. I think creating an alternative vision that's appealing will get folks motivated.
Yeah.
That'd be the American dream.
How about a new American dream?
Oh, I mean the past dream.
How about a people dream?
Yeah, how about a human dream, Gretchen? Yeah.
There you go, human dream.
Well, so much of what has gone on in the mainstream and in the whole mainstream political scene is oppositional. It's Republicans versus Democrats. It's all against. Of necessity, we're attempting to do something different than that. We're attempting to develop a collaborative and yet diverse model. So just we're treading a very fine line here. And I also feel, just responding to what people have been saying there, that it is definitely not up to us to solve the whole thing in one go. I think you do what you can do at whatever level you're at in terms of your effectiveness. And just coming together and discussing these issues as we're doing here right now, it feels like baby steps to me in a new process, because we're actually having to think. We're not using handed down prescriptive solutions that we're picking up from somewhere else. We're attempting to put something new together and come up with a new set of ideas.
Fenton, this is Red, and just to expound a little bit on about self-sufficiency and growing, your own food or doing things like that, and I think a lot of people are picking up on this personally, even with the folks that I've been talking to down here in this wonderful red state of Virginia. I think a lot of people privately might agree is to perhaps, if you can't really grow anything for yourself, and you know that might be for people in more city areas, metropolitan areas or whatnot, but to patronize the smaller stores, instead of going to Walmart, maybe go to the local butcher if there is one, because we still need things like that. The mom and pop store is really what's been hurt. And I think on a smaller scale, if we went back to using our community businesses versus Walmart and the CVS drugstore,
I was saying about in our community, I've got like 500,000, half a million people right here in Wandsworth. And then amongst that, I've got a garden. If I start growing, I'm going to have loads of surplus. What am I going to do with the surplus? I want to give it away. Now, with other people, there is technology here. There are people who are experts in things, and they're creative as well. And if we start networking and doing things together, we don't need the money system. We don't need the politics. We don't need anything. By one starting, I'm going to have a surplus, because that's the way nature works. I don't want to grow it for myself, you understand? But by me learning and growing, I can pass it on to others, and they can exchange things with me that I haven't got a clue about.
Okay, well, there's some points coming out there already that full spectrum liberty is founded in self-sufficiency, has a lot to do with the concept of small is beautiful, and perhaps even the idea of community currency. I'll throw that over to Matt, just to pick up that, Matt, about community currency and exchange without going through the system.
I think that's one of the major hammers to the old coral reef there. You don't run away and hide from your country or your government, because, as we were saying before we started, there's nowhere to go. You stay where you are, at ground zero, and you start trading amongst yourselves wherever possible. Near me, there's a thing called Camborne and Redruth Let's, where you can exchange all kinds of skills, like what Darth Vader was referring to. I really moved into that community, actually. It sounds very interesting. You can get your car fixed, you can hire a projector, have a cinema in your garden, people will grow your food, cut your hair, all kinds of stuff. So, this idea of reliance on government is completely a fraud, really. You can just step aside from that and do your own thing. And even if you just start, like, I'm in a block of flats here, I could just start with a neighbour across the way. you know, helping them out with this and that, and if they have skills, they can exchange. It doesn't have to be big. People see what you're doing, they like the look of it, and they copy it and pick it up, and before you know it, it goes viral, you know, out in the real world. It's not even internet viral, it becomes a real tangible thing. Definitely ought to be said for that, I would say.
Yeah, and the internet is a perfect medium for extending and developing the ideas of community currency, because you can do a lot of administration, advertising and exchange, which is internet-based, and every day that goes by is a day in our favour as more and more people go on the net.
It's like you were saying in your audio, the old government ways, the hierarchical ways, they're so limited and slow that we really have the opportunity to just run totally roughshod around them. I like that. I like that a lot.
Well, it lets you avoid tax as well, because community exchange is not a taxable activity, because you're doing it all privately outside
That's
the
right.
system. Yeah.
Well, again, I'll chime in pointing out that, you know, like Bathada was talking about growing your own food and having the abundance. I don't know if in England, but in America there's a growing movement, for example, called the Community Supported Agriculture Programs, where local restaurants and groceries and consumers are participating closely with their local growers to keep that food locally, to, you know, have a subscription-based service where you get your bushel of vegetables of the month as an individual in restaurants serving local foods and that. And as just one example of things that are, you know, people are doing out there, it kind of leads me to the thought of what our purpose is at for Full Spectrum Liberty is, because I'm seeing more and more out there where there's many groups and associations who are, in essence, doing what we're trying to do, is provide a forum for exchange of new world thinking ideas, let's call it, and then how do we provide something that's unique, something that's you know, attractive to people, if you will. How do we market our ideas above the growing popularity of that kind of networking that's going on, you know?
This is Navarre. I don't know if we need to market ours above anyone else's, but I do like your idea of creating a forum for this marketplace of concepts. And so I look at this, and I threw it out loosely, sort of, you know, creating this 2084 book or novel. And that doesn't have to be a book or a novel in the traditional sense of the word. You could look at creating a forum online or a wiki. You end up being a forum for a collection of ideas. Full Spectrum Liberty might end up being a myriad of different frameworks for currency systems, stores of value, for feeding a community. We could end up with dozens for each sector that all work depending on the specific conditions of that community. From my perspective, it's just getting folks to start to think about them and then start to actually test them. Could you imagine not only a framework of various ideas, but case studies? So Bathada talked about growing food in her community. Can you imagine if you did that? I don't know if you already do, and actually report back on how that works. If someone can go to a central place and start to see these various, not only visions, but case studies of how these visions work and how they might be applied in their own local community. So there might be 100 different ideas on how to feed community, and for community A, idea 1 might work, and community B, idea 100 might work. I mean, it seems to me it's just the process of the collection of those ideas.
Okay, well, let's pick this up. We'll just take a quick music break, and we'll pick this up. A whole host of ideas coming out there, folks. We are just scratching the surface of the Full Spectrum Liberty concept, but I think we're getting somewhere in terms of defining some of the core issues. You're on the next level on breakfornews.com, and we'll be right back.
Follow the distant beam of light, a drop of neon floods my weary eyes. It illuminates my soul, reasons why I'm heading your way with the traffic by my side. How it was before. this precious time. Every second is treated as though there is no time. Your eyes are wider than before. So little has changed, but your eyes now see much more. Away from the trembling of bustling feet, you can lose your troubled thoughts for tonight at least. You can wake in the morning feeling that you can breathe, little darling. Draw no doubts deep inside. I surrender myself to your presence and peace of mind. Your eyes are wider than before. So little has changed, but your eyes now see much more. So much more. So much more. So much more. So much.
America is no longer. Now we know. Now we've seen that America is not this single empire that's taking over the Middle East. You know, it's more
over the years, how did you talk to your college buddy?
Very carefully.
Yeah.
I avoid politics. One thing is, with that kind of mentality, if you're talking to somebody who's a perfectly intelligent, you know, they've got the gray matter, but
yeah,
they've completely bought into, you know, this brainwashing with the right and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Mm.
And part of that brainwashing is to recognize liberals, you know. And liberals to them is a profile. And if you don't fit that profile, they think you're one of them or close enough. You know,
yeah, you're one of the others.
As long as you don't argue with them. You can tell that when they're spouting your programming, and when they're spouting programming, you just sort of go, you know. Or
I can't do that. How do you do that? I've got to talk to people about everything.
No, I've learned it since 2001. I didn't used to do it either, but I had to learn. You know,
yeah,
that little period where we all shut up for a while because you trigger somebody's. Before 2001, I noticed that you knew all these people. You thought everybody was American. You thought everybody believed in freedom. And then when that happened, this prepackaged, pre-hypnotic suggestion was triggered. And for a couple of years there, worse the first year, suddenly if you said anything like, well, 9/11, that looks very suspicious to me. Traitor! You know,
I know,
you trigger their programming and they want to attack you, you know.
I know, that's the problem. That's
and,
what I was talking about.
Reduced
the
now.
Matrix, yeah.
Yeah, this is reduced now because they're some of those people that are, when you in London characterize, you know, seeing miserable, you know, people looking miserable and looking down and confused, it's the same thing here. You know, any place you go, any city you go to in the United States, it's like that.
See, I read a wonderful book recently called, and I put it on the things at various places, Vatican Assassins, and it's fantastic. I didn't know how the history of America was built and how it's been destroyed. It's fantastic history lesson.
Uh-huh.
Really read it.
What book is that, please?
Vatican Assassins by Eric John Phelps.
You
can download it. Free Vatican Assassins. It's an amazing expose on American history.
Well, that brings up a challenge that I'm facing because we're homeschoolers, which means I'm back in school, and of course I'm becoming a break for news addict. starting to question everything in my fundamental teachings, you know.
But if they fight the system like I did, you know, I mean, teachers were always throwing the whiteboard rubbers at me and stuff, and I fought the system the whole way, and it rejected me first, you know. I mean, I didn't start it. It doesn't always happen that way, but I can just add something personal here. I used to know somebody who was homeschooled, and she must have been 11, 12 when I knew her, and she could cover what they covered in school in about half an hour a day.
Absolutely.
You know, like a couple of
she's
hours.
She's actually learning.
Yeah, well, I think we're moving into a whole new generation. Because of the impact of the internet, I don't think the existing educational system has yet realized what is going to happen to it. But when you can get quality information on the internet, which is at least the same, if not better quality, and more up to date than the information been given out to you in an institutional school structure using a laid down curriculum, it starts to completely undermine the educational process. When the kids are going home and becoming more expert on computers than the teachers who are teaching them, becoming more adept at using them, etc., it's going to reach a crunch point where the existing educational structure is going to start collapsing as people begin to construct their own educational medium outside of the existing structure. And so that's a very hopeful sign, I think, going forward.
So is the internet our replacement for the media that has been so gone astray there? I don't know how we can
I think it's
take
number
back
one.
The media, you know?
It's definitely the number one medium. I mean, things like YouTube. It's the first folk art, mass distributed folk art.
Here, here.
Yeah, and there's also the issue of being the media, which is a political slogan, but being the media is a practical reality that younger people are actually implementing, not as a political ideology, but simply as a working on their own homepage on whatever is the currently hip place to be on the internet, doing their own videos and stuff and putting them up online, blogging left, right and center. The more time that people have for this creative self-expression, the less time they have to be simply soaking up the output of the tube, because they don't have the time. They're too busy creating. It's something that was referred to by Toffler in Third Wave as prosumption instead of consumption.
Just two quick points. Well, maybe three. Harkening back to our idea on sharing there, open sharing reminded me of the early days of the internet when that was the way. It was everything was an open source idea. You know, there was that sharing going on. And as it commercialized, so to speak, and became the web and such, it kind of got tangled up in that. But I think there's still that almost innate spirit amongst us all to mm-hmm. want to share that way. And it's been shown over time that great things happen, you know, to the betterment of all when we all share like that.
There's one area we haven't touched on, and it's an area that, you know, people end up spending a lot of money on, and it's a big factor in their lives, and that's the issue of health. We have got to start implementing some kind of systems to take back health away from the profit-centered system, because it's come to my realization that, you know, health is and involvement in health services is a vocation, and making it a profit-based system has worked so much to our disadvantage, because obviously the more sick people are, then the more profit gets made. We've got to reverse that and turn it on its head. There was an old system in China where you paid a retainer to your medical consultant. In other words, as long as you were well, and he could call around and collect a few bucks, but when he called around and you weren't well, you didn't pay him any money.
That's
right. You know, that's the way it's got to be, is at a structural level, we've got to reverse the current system so that no problem, doctors getting money, but they get money based on the wellness of the community they serve and the patient base which they serve. Those kind of structural ideas need to be...
Wouldn't that be a horror in America?
Well, that goes back to education, too, because ultimately we should each be able to take care of ourselves if we're living a healthful lifestyle. Mm-hmm. We're eating healthful foods and ingesting healthful media and know that we have the power to cure ourselves, then it should be rare that we need other than traumatic assistance and that kind of thing. And that's obviously an ultimate goal in that, but you know, more and more the holistic ideas are penetrating the minds of the people, I think, and making them at least maybe look that way once in a while, you know?
Yeah, let's hear from down Texas way, Ormond.
Well, I would just say that, you hear all the complaints on this, and at first, the first reaction, people think like, oh my God, how are we going to shut down this money system? Well, you don't have to shut it down. You don't have to shut down the Federal Reserve or central banks. People just have to quit spending gratuitous credit spending.
Mm-hmm.
Barter and trade of services and goods has never gone away. I think it's a natural human inclination, and it's very hard to convince people that it's politically wrong or that it's a national security breach. You know, it's one of those things that somebody says like, hey, I've got this, or I can do this, and why don't we just trade out? See, Republicans do that. They do it all the time here. I do it with people.
Yeah.
And it's a good deal because you're always running into people that have things you want to exchange. It also feels a lot better when you do it.
Yeah.
You're also establishing a relationship with somebody directly, and you can't do that by buying something.
It's a highly saleable idea because you're saying to people, hey, you're not going to pay taxes on this stuff. The more we do outside the system, there's no tax involved.
Everybody's into that.
And everybody likes
somebody
that. Yeah.
Told about that. They all know.
Yeah, they love that. Okay, Red Mana, any input on what we're talking about right now?
That's a tough thing, actually, for me. I'm trying to get logically in my head because on the pragmatic side, I'm thinking, well, if we could only just eliminate all the pork spending and, get back to a more community spirit in government locally and stuff like that, it would mean trying to get more people that think like us into actual office. On a local and state level, which might be tough because I think a lot of people that feel the way we do probably are just so sick of government it's the last thing we'd want to think about doing as a profession. Or
I guess there's two fronts. You can get at it. You can start creating a new system on the side, or you can try and go through the system and change it from within. And yeah, both are difficult. And
because if we, if we only have, a few people coming on board, and politically, as we do, and what we see, I think, is once they get in, they just become corrupt themselves too. I don't know whether
they just become
corrupt by force or whether it's just so appealing that it's easy to be that way. But if we were in mass droves to, enter the public life, then perhaps that would help. I'm not sure.
Dominant systems become obsolete sooner or later, and it's not so much as if they're directly attacked or brought down. They just sort of go away because people find another way to do things and start doing that, and that may apply to governance and politics as well. Fenton, you brought up something just wonderful a number of months ago about around the election time leading up to that, and you suggested that the election systems are obsolete. That you said people don't. You don't have to put a man on horseback from some village to go to the Capitol anymore.
Yeah.
So we have the internet. So public opinion is actually someone on. I think it was Gail on the forum,
mm-hmm.
Who lives in the UK, and she said that there was a tax proposed by the government that they were going to start charging people for driving somehow. Is anyone familiar with that?
That's right.
Away.
Yeah.
It hasn't gone away. Well, no. But what happened was they got almost 2 million responses to it, and it kind of rattled them a little bit. That kind of thing slows them down from just ramrodding stuff through right away. They don't ram something through until they have
it's
the public at a point where the public barely notices it. Or just thinks, oh well, there's nothing we can do. They want you already, rolled over before they go ahead and do it.
Yeah, there's another aspect to this that people often overlook. Why, for example, 9/11 was pulled off, and why you had events such as OKC, etc., is that the political structure is and has been becoming irrelevant in people's lives because they're tuning out of politicians and they've frankly couldn't give a shit. And what the system has been trying to do is compete in the media-rich landscape for attention. They're trying to make themselves relevant by creating what is a threat situation. You see, you have to respond to a threat. You couldn't give a damn what a politician thinks about some minor issue, but if it's about guys flying planes into skyscrapers, you've got to pay attention. So that is a last-ditch gamble by these people to try and make themselves actually relevant. And, you know, yeah, people vote with their ears and vote with their eyes in terms of ignoring these people. And that's a trend that I see continuing to their detriment.
But they are being left with a vacuum. I mean, there's nowhere to go.
Yeah. If it wasn't for 9/11...
Except for the net and sites like Breaking News.
Yeah. If it wasn't for 9/11, who would care about politicians among our group? You know what I'm saying? That
yeah.
You wouldn't care. They're irrelevant. We'd be getting on with the business of like what we've been talking about here now tonight of developing and inventing new systems, new approaches. That would be our focus. That was the focus. And they've pulled a couple of stunts. The great division in American politics, which they created between the red and the blue states, was one of the stunts. And then the other following on from that was this 9/11 event and the security scare. And I think they've played their cards there. And I don't see them with many more cards left.
Yes. Yeah, that seems so this year. Since the election.
Yeah.
Since the election. It's sort of like there was a few days of hopefulness, and then everybody realized they were right back in the same place.
Can I just say something here? Part of the agenda is that people do walk away from any sort of hope or faith or interest in government. So that they just give up on the whole affair, and therefore the hidden agenda, the hidden government, and the hidden military go ahead with what carte blanche as they've been doing anyway. So it is part of the agenda to actually put forward these effete, ineffectual buffoons in our faces in government, so that we don't have any confidence in local or national government, so it is part of that. So it's a little bit scary to think that, oh, well, we don't care about politics and government, so therefore, you know, the power's in our hands. It's part of a ruse so that people do lose confidence, and they are trying to get things back into a local community base so that people stay in my borough of Wandsworth, are the people that have the power and can actually have control over their local government and their local community. So therefore, that, you know, it's a bit of a sticky one, really, to say, oh, well, who cares about politicians and all that, and let's just give up on the government, because that is part of their policy to make us think like that as well. And they're doing a very, very good job at that. And I wouldn't get involved in changing the system from the inside out, because knowing those guys, my heart goes out to those people that are genuine, God help them, literally, in government, because what they're up against, I mean, they're annihilated.
I mean, at this point, there are 20 times more people involved in Save the Whale campaigns than there are active members in the British Labour or Conservative Party. And many of these parties have to hire people to go out to put up their posters. So these guys are struggling to try and maintain even their own active political base. So, like I say, long term, I see them having big problems there. You can pull stunts and you can spend a lot of money, but if you don't actually have an underlying support base and people are starting to walk away from the political system, well, you're screwed in the long term.
Well, not really, because you've got the world government. That this is what they're doing. That they've got a world government, the New World Order, and they're not interested in... They want to deconstruct people's connection with a local or a national government. That's what I'm trying to say here.
I take your point that they have those notions, but if you compare those to the political realities of attempting to establish, let alone a world government, but an EU government in the European Union... The populations who have been asked to vote on that issue have told them to get stuffed, and
they
haven't been able. Yeah, but they haven't been able
to. to them. They're going ahead anyway. That's the horror.
But how can they go ahead? How can they go ahead without any legislative or constitutional basis? They can't. They're screwed. The European project is currently on ice because it was rejected by particularly the French and the Danes, and they knew if they went to other populations, they'd reject it as well. So
yes,
they have
that,
very.
That
whatever happened to our
referendum too.
Yeah, I mean, you can't be at the top of a pyramid unless there's people at the bottom of the pyramid.
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. Let individually walk away. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. But we're not caring about them. It means, like, well, we don't. It's not like saying, like, being counted, saying, like, oh, we'll just think you'll go away. But it's sort of like saying, like, well, we're just not going to do what you tell us to do anymore. And we're not afraid of you.
That's it. Yeah. If you know what's coming.
And we're not going to participate in your system when we know that it's, you know, there's just a trap and a runaround, a little treadmill that you keep us on. Those aspects of the system.
Yeah. But we still got to be prepared for when they crash down the doors and you know, so
they're not ready to do that. I asked my Republican friend when he had this epiphany, and I helped with him having it by, you know, showing him various agreements and documents that he wasn't aware of concerning the amalgamation of the United States, Canada, and Mexico. And you can see that happening at this point. It has tangible features that they play their hand on this if people get pointed to the right material. And when he realized that that's what was going on, he said, well, if they do that, there'll be a revolution in the streets. And he's a Republican. He's talking about Republicans with guns and stuff, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, he can look at it through those lenses, but they know that. They're not. See, they have to proceed cautiously with these things that they've been doing, really. They try to make it appear that they're omnipotent, that they can do all kinds of. They try to scare us. And I'm all warmest to make us think, well, if they can do that, we're fucked.
And 777. But, you know, the thing is that be prepared that they have. We have the technology, gentlemen. And they have the force. And they don't care about the votes anymore. It's all a sham. They can just blast in, and the move's been made.
You think they don't care about the votes?
No.
Because there's a lot of talk in the media of trying to make young people feel guilty for, well, they're not voting. They got to get involved in the political system. So it sounds to me like they want to keep them in.
No. This is a psyops. I've had this for years. You know, about the Emily Pankhurst and, you know, if you don't vote, then I've had this, like, you know, moral dichotomy for years about, oh, well, if you don't... I've always felt, though, that if you don't vote, that is a vote. That is a vote.
Yeah, but that's the thing, though. There's time for a bargain with politics, all right? There's time for politics to be open and give you the... I don't want to vote for any of these idiots box to tick because they hide behind this idea that, oh, voter apathy, and it goes a bit back to what Darth Vader was saying about they play on apathy so they can just get on with their thing, and there's some truth in that. But if they actually finally just let you have a box to tick where I don't feel any of these schmucks are going to represent me, you know, and it could even be a really long-winded choice. I know these people will talk the talk before they're voted in, and then when they're voted in, they're going to do exactly what everybody else does. The, you know, the ongoing agenda will just continue.
Yeah.
Tick that box. I'd vote every damn time. Seriously.
So they don't care about the votes. They've been already proven to be rigged.
They don't care about the votes, but I think they do want to keep the illusion that it's the system.
Oh, yeah, that's the media machine
keeps that going. Yeah.
You know, they can do opinion polls ad nauseum, amphidiotum, and everyone thinks, oh, well, if everyone thinks like that, then
it's public belief in the voting and the party system and all that completely fails.
Full-time low.
Then people are going to want an alternative system. And they don't want to deal with that. The other side of it is, oh, well, you know, and this has been one of the big fears after 9/11 for a long time, is if you say, like, oh, well, if they get scared, the system isn't working on us anymore, and people start waking up, they're going to do the Alex Jones thing. It's going to be terrifying. Mm-hmm. The thing is, that is really, if you think about it, is sort of like the press about this Iran thing. Oh, well, Bush is going to nuke Iran.
Right.
Well, Bush isn't going to nuke Iran. And if you send in the stormtroopers into the streets, at this point, you're going to rattle so many people that they need to keep the technologies in the system going that they can't do that either. See, they're still made on that point.
Yeah, I think the most illustrative aspect of all of this was the Tiananmen Square incident in China, where in order to put down the rebellion, they had to get these guys from the sticks who didn't know up from down, who hadn't a clue what was going on, and they wheeled these guys in from the northern provinces of China, and they just didn't know anything. And so they came in and they defended the revolution as they, the official Chinese revolution. The problem is those guys now have got satellite TV and the internet. There isn't anybody left who doesn't know what's going on. And the problem with bringing the stormtroopers out on the street is that the stormtroopers are the guys who live down the road from you. The stormtroopers are the cop who goes down to the local gymnasium with your kid and his kid plays with your kid. Where are they going to get these people who are going to implement this crackdown New World Order? I don't see them having the personnel or having the political legitimacy to engage in a crackdown or at a sheer staffing level.
Okay, Simpson, can I say something here? Because this is what I thought. And then I got deeper and deeper, and looking at the way that they move military around, I mean, at the moment you have, right, just to explain, you have nobody, no British troops in England. They're all out in Afghanistan fighting the opium wars and heroin. Basically, that's all it is, to control the drugs out there and make more money for the CIA and Queen Lizzie. And in America, you've got all the young American guys being slaughtered on the killing fields of Iraq. What they're going to bring in, and what Vatican Assassins is so beautiful in expressing, is that through Cuba, you're going to get Russian Chinese troops coming into America. They are not even going to speak the bloody language of the Americans, and they're the ones that are going to, after martial law is declared, they're the ones that are going to cart people, and they're going to try, obviously, very hard to get the gun, like they have in England.
Well,
the gun laws
are here. They have a long way
okay.
before they
let me.
Implement it. I know they're working toward that goal. But they're already behind. Since 2005, I've been sentence notices, too. It's like the EU Union is one thing, but there's been a number of objectives that haven't come off of them, clearly. And you think about, did they just fuck up and lose that one?
Yeah.
And, in other words, their time schedule has been for the United States amalgamation and all this sort of thing. They'd like to do it without declaring martial law. They have to keep the people that run their infrastructure happy and enough to, feel in part of the system and to go in and run everything and do all the to run a technological world as they have. They need millions and millions of technocrats to do that. And if they start threatening the technocrats, they'll lose. If they lose the technocrats, they won't have anybody, to come in and run the satellite systems and all that.
I just point out the political realities of what happened with the votes that they felt, even they felt they had to engage the voting public in Europe for their European project, let alone their New World Order project, and they were told to get lost. And I'd also like to say, I don't have Vatican Assassins on my CIA fakes list, it's a book. But I know the meme, I don't buy it, I can't even begin to describe how much I think that's pure, total Jesuits run the world bullshit. Vatican Assassins is fear-mongering material, Daft Ida, and maybe I should have put it on my list before you read the book, because I don't buy Vatican Assassins
at all.
Have
you read the book?
I haven't read the book, I've read the website.
Well, then you can't put it on the list.
I've read the website, though.
I've been researching things for a long time, and it joined the dots in a way that, in a very interesting way, it's a very interesting book. Read it before you pass judgment, is my advice.
Well, let me just say I've read the website, and I know the people involved, and I know the channels through which that Vatican Assassin material is distributed, and they're all fake channels. The people are fake, the channels are fake, the concept is fake. But that's just my opinion.
Yeah, we've got Alex Jones pushing that type of agenda as well. And
he sounds like a constipated crocodile to me, Alex Jones. Hey, that's awful. My wife was crying.
Yeah.
Oh, he just only heard his voice once. And
my God, cancer virus in the vaccines.
Oh, please. No.
He came on the air out of absolutely thin air in the late 90s when I was living in Austin, Texas, where he was based. And he was terrifying us. And I mentioned this to Fenton. I listened to one of the first of Fenton's broadcasts that I heard, and I said, well, I don't have to jump under my bed when I hear a helicopter over my neighborhood.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, what they have going for them is the fear agenda. And a huge part of the reason for pulling it is to try and immobilize political opposition simply by using the fear agenda, by making the New World Order appear to be bigger than it is. But the bottom line is you need apparatchiks, you need dummies, grunts, in order to implement repressive legislation and repressive systems. And there aren't enough grunts around anymore. So, you know, I don't see any future for these guys. I subscribe to the Terence McKenna ideology that, in actual fact, what you're watching is these guys scrabbling to stop themselves going down the tube rather than them about to be about to take over.
Time when them so unkind, take everything that is mine. See them capture Palestine and take every dime. Money them make up a crime. Middle East have the most isle mind. These nowadays leader coming like Julius Caesar, invaders and destroyer, lies and propaganda that them spread with the media to destroy human nature. Babylon can't make me participation. We now support United Nations. It's a plot and a plan. Kill out human Illuminati from way beyond the world police station. In a Washington, a Chinese King Selassie, who are the foundation. It's gonna be a revolution. Lots of bullets shot, lots of bombs drop. Sure gonna be a revolution. If you don't stop, if you don't stop. It's gonna be a revolution. And the situation, you put me nation. Bring your injection, but immunization. Bring the African to slavery by your plantation. See the world get confused with this war with Muslim, Christian and Jew. Shoot your brother to step by your shoes and you are open me views. Show me have a nice car and cruise. Every day we chant one love, but get no hug. It's just brutality and grudge. Millions are suffering and the more prefer suck them blood that help them rise up above. Look how far we no go as human. Destroy Japan through Union Truman. Check me history as a historian. I no alone use a nuclear bomb. Remember that it's gonna be a revolution. Lots of guns shot, lots of bombs drop. Sure gonna be a revolution. If you don't stop, if you don't stop.
The Roman Colosseum, you know, the famous bloodbath, red and circus spectacle that was so kept everybody happy for so long. I got curious a few years ago. I thought, like, I wonder what happened to that. And it seemed like 400 years A.D. a generation came along that just was sick of it, and they didn't go. People just quit going to the Colosseum.
Yeah, that's right. I remember reading that.
And,
yeah.
and they didn't know what to do about it. And this was during a time similar to the one that we are in, where cultures were mixing and all that. I had a little quote from Brian Eno, kind of related years ago, where he said that we live in a medieval time in the sense that everything's in flux and all this new stuff is being implemented that nobody's ever tried before, including people that own those things. They own them, but it's all new to them, too. They don't know what they're doing. I mean, it's not easy to take over the world.
gone into this.
Well, you know, if they start threatening people with troops in the street at this point, people are going to quit watching television, I can tell you that.
Well,
they're
going
to start talking about it to each other real quick. And then that would, overnight, that would change, you know, that would free a lot of minds in a minute. So, you know, they know that. They're afraid to do that. They just.
I think that, yeah, I think that would backfire, too.
Yeah.
I mean, we were talking about advertising earlier and how, you know, branding techniques always have to change and adapt because people catch on to how they're being advertised to. And
that's right.
And so you can't have 40-style fascism return in 2007.
It's a catch-22 when you're trying to run an exploitive system because the more that you accelerate things, you accelerate it. You heat things up, and then you're scrambling too.
The New World Order has done its bit. They have had their go. The ability to manipulate an entire society, or let alone a global society, is not something that comes easily. And they had a plan in place. The extent of that plan ran right up to the scheduled, prearranged defeat of George W. Bush, because they had to do that in order to take the political heat out of the system. They knew they could only run it for so long, because if you kept the political heat in the system, people would start to figure it out politically, and you'd be in deep trouble. So they had a plan which they would threaten everybody with the ogre of Bush and all the neocon rubbish, and then they would arrange a scheduled, prearranged defeat of that agenda. So in terms of the hard stuff of coming over and doing the heavy stuff, they've run that as far as it can run, and now we'll see how well they did. But in terms of actually pulling stunts, they've done their bit, and they can't afford to. They can't afford to get people.
Hillary Clinton gets in 2008.
Well, whatever. But I'm just saying, you're not going to see troops in the streets. You're not going to see a high energized political climate because they can't afford that. If they could, Bush wouldn't have been, or the GOP wouldn't have been defeated, and we would now be going into Iran. But we're not. They're taking the political heat out of the system because they've done their thing. They had a plan. It was very well resourced. They used a lot of psy war. It was really good. But that's it. It's been done. Now we'll see whether it worked. I think the fact that we're having this conversation tonight indicates that it hasn't.
Exactly.
Okay, I'll tell you what I'm going to do is we've had quite a run of conversation here now. I think we've maybe dealt with a lot of issues that were central to full spectrum liberty and beyond it, and the whole political environment we're in and the future. And what I'd like to do is just to go around everybody and just get some closing comments. I'm going to come to Navari first. Maybe just give us some closing thoughts for tonight on the discussion we've had and on where we go from here.
I think, as we've seen by example through our own conversation here, that it's easy to fall back into the trap of, again, focusing on what the elites are doing and spending an enormous amount of energy on that. And I don't think that gets us to where we want to go. I think folks have to go through that process if we need to create a vision for ourselves. That's where our focus needs to be. Otherwise, we will never get there, and we will continue to follow someone else's vision. I think that's the best way to, and I have additional thoughts on how to do that. I think we can have a lot more conversations, but I think that's how I'd like to leave it.
So, Urban Spaceman, some thoughts from yourself in closing.
We do get what we concentrate upon, and the world is what we make it. So I think us coming together and trying to envision what the future is and not focus so much on reacting and becoming co-creators in the world, I think it's a great start.
Okay. Jeff, can I have some closing thoughts from yourself as well?
Well, I guess I would echo the previous statements there. I sure am an advocate of envisioning our future and making it a reality in each our own individual lives and offering the opportunity for others to see those ideas. I also think about the comment Orman made, to help people wake up, that maybe we can still balance it with the break for news idea that's going on now to educate people in the way things are, to help them see past that. But certainly a focus of this full spectrum liberty should be more on the envisioning where we're going kind of thing.
Okay, and Matt?
Basically it's been very well said already, but it is true, the world is what we make it. I'm fed up with the whole fear system, bored with it, to be honest. Alex Jones can kiss my ass. I'm just not interested in that anymore. I, like yourselves, I would rather see the way forward from myself and with the people around me and indeed yourself online. I don't want to be in orbit around the government or these fear factor people anymore. You know, I'm breaking away from that, not interested in it. So just time to do our own thing and make our own plans and just ignore them because, as I think Vincent said, they're not going to do all this stuff in martial law in the streets, and if they do, it will be the end of them. So it's good time to actually do our thing and ignore them because they're not going to proceed with all the kind of end-of-day stuff where they all emerge out of a big hole in the ground and destroy everybody with microwave weapons. They just ain't going to go there. And if they do, it's the end of them. So let's just do our thing and not worry about them anymore, I'd say.
Okay, okay. Daft Ida, closing thoughts from yourself?
Daft Ada.
Ada.
Yeah, I think that where I've wanted to get is to the point that I just find it very funny. I find what they're doing very, very funny. And that is, you know, laughter is the basis of health. And we were talking about health earlier and we didn't really get into it, unfortunately. But a good laugh is what keeps the body healthy, politics or otherwise. And I'd just like to end on a smile.
Okay, that's a great point. And Ormond, you're the best placed person to speak from the belly of the beast down in Texas. How's the beast looking? Mortally wounded or still some life left in the old thing yet?
Well, and not digested yet. what I see here, and this is one reason why I quit hiding. First went out to hide out in the mountains, and I realized that that wasn't going to work. So I thought, like, well, I got the best perspective left in the center of it. And what I've observed here is that across the board, and we don't believe in the right-left thing. We know that we're talking about people that have been polarized into those attitudes. And they're going through the same process that we had. We just went through a little bit sooner. What's happening is all this stuff that's being thrown on is accelerating people's thoughts and breaking down what they believe was true. And that's the starting point. And that's also the uncontrollable factor, because there's so much change that's been put into motion that it's pretty much, like I said, a crapshoot, you know, what's going to happen next in terms of how people are going to react. They're losing control of the brainwash. And it's getting more difficult. I've seen what happens is something happens, people start to wake up a little bit, they're easier to talk to again, they're easier to discuss with you. And then this last spring, they killed Zakawi, remember? and that threw them back into it for about, you know, 2 weeks. So they're getting less bang for their buck when they pull these stunts. Because I know that the people in London didn't believe that 7-7 was, you know, Arab terrorists out to kill everybody in the UK either. And that really didn't, yeah, and that was evident to the world, and they kind of were like, oh, shit. You know, well, we had our G8 and everything. You know, and they made those announcements and came out victorious with Blair and all set up in Edinburgh to come out and speak together about that. And so, don't worry, we'll keep you safe now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, nobody went for it. They go like, oh, we were wrong. You know, we miscalculated somewhere. So I see this in the process, too. They're losing the American public big time. And I don't think, I was afraid of Hillary last spring, but I don't think that their plan is the same. It's the same plan after George W. Bush. They gave us Clinton. Clinton was funny. He played the saxophone. He had sex with people. He put a joint in his mouth, even if he didn't inhale it. It was cool. And everybody relaxed. And this time, I don't think that Hillary's job has to do is she's not going to be ramrodding a boom in the economy when they turn an economy trickle on. She's going to be coming in when the economy is tighter and they're beginning to clamp down the bolts. And her job is supposed to be to make us think that it's all noble and good to be politically correct and go along with these things. And I don't think anybody's going to buy into it.
Yep. Well, there you go.
That plan of Hillary or, you know, who they put in to do a velvet glove routine in 2008 is not going to be able to just say, oh, well, you know, we have this crisis, so we're going to have to call in UN troops. I don't think people are going to go for it as easy as they thought when they bring this thing up back in the 90s, because that's when the plans made. I think all these plans were laid out long in advance.
Okay.
I also think a lot of it is backfiring.
It is. You can see it. It started in 2005 from the EU rejection by the French on. Things started to, you just notice more and more of it. So like, well, God, it, you know, do they really plan that to work like that? You know, what possible? I keep weighing what did they gain? They gained all kinds of stuff from 9/11. It was all win, win, win. And every action these guys pull is designed for them to win, 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 win. And when they pull an action and they don't win anything, they don't get anything out of it, that's how you know that it didn't work for them, that it backfired.
Okay, let me hear then in conclusion from Red Mana, please.
Okay, thanks a lot. I agree totally with everybody saying here in conclusion. You know, these things are backfiring, and I see the bigger picture about the backpedaling, which I brought up a couple of times. And the thing about getting on something like Breaks the News, which I think is such a wonderful thing, is as much as we know where a lot of the other sources are coming from now, wanting to talk about this Alex Jones thing, etc. I mean, I started off basically a couple of years back on the David Icke, I'm not sure what his, well, Icke, hey, you know what I mean? That probably says it all. But you know what? A lot of those things, as much as they're hijacked, and I don't know whether they went sour because they were told to or whatnot, but inquiring minds that are not satisfied with just some of the truth are going to keep seeking, and maybe, in the long run, they were good things because those sources brought us here, and we're still trying to find, the real truth. And so as much as maybe those are bad sources now, but they were stepping stones, so I can't really, put them down 100%, because for, bad or good or indifferent, they got us to where we're getting today, and they're part of the backfiring, and the backpedaling. So I think, with that crumbling around, I think there is hope for us. I really do feel good about that. I seriously do.
Okay, well, that's a very nice note to draw the conversation to a conclusion. We've ranged far and wide, folks, in Full Spectrum Liberty, and I think outside it as well, but maybe a good idea too, because it gave us a chance to discuss some of the shit that's gone on over the last few years and make some kind of judgment calls on what's happening. The only call I can make on it is that I think the same thing is going to happen to these people and what they've tried as happened with the hula hoop. It just became not hip anymore. And the same thing is going to happen with the war on terror. I think they've had their chance. I'm looking forward to the next few years. I'm looking forward to developing an alternative. And I'm looking forward to their continuing decline in political and social relevancy. But thanks very much, folks, for a great discussion. We'll draw to a conclusion here. We could go on, but we'll have to stop somewhere. And maybe we can pick it up again.
Oh, thank,
we'll certainly pick it up.
Bring us all together.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, we'll certainly pick it up in the forum. And if those who are listening would like to contribute in the Full Spectrum Liberty topic, you'll find it now in the Thinking Zone on Break for News forum. And we'll be very interested in your comments and feedback on that as we look at the past and look to the future. I'll be back again soon with more. I do hope that you can join me for that. Thanks very much to everybody for contributing tonight. But until then, for breakfornews.com, this has been Fintan Dunn reporting.
Will you always keep me warm? Hold me safe and away from harm. Keep day for night, and as the day fades, burn a candle bright for me. Will you always keep me warm? Hold me safe and away from harm. Keep day from night, and as the day fades, burn a candle bright for me. Walking into the sun. Walking into the sun.